Welcome, everybody, to the Resistance Broadcast. I'm John. Thank you so much for joining us on TRB Live. That is right. We are live. Unless, of course, you're listening on your favorite podcast app, which we like as well. But however you're taking in TRB, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate everybody who's been supporting us as we enter this new era of the podcast. And we do have some announcements that we're going to make in a minute. But before we do, hello, Lacey. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thanks. I'm excited. You and I have been like eagerly waiting to talk about this stuff. So I'm like hyped.
The duck's feet in the water are like churning and burning and everything else.
Where are we going? We didn't talk about a duck. What are you talking about?
I think that's one of those analogies they say when everything, you're working hard beneath the surface. And that's certainly what's been going on.
Sure.
So we have a lot to talk about. Before we get into that stuff, I just want to thank anybody who's joining us live. Thank you so much. We do have Ask the Resistance later in the show. So if you have a Star Wars question you want us to talk about or discuss, pop it in the chat using hashtag Ask the Resistance. We also do have the hyperspace lanes are open for super chats. If you want your comment read on the show or it's an Ask the Resistance, you'll get first priority. And you support the show too. So we appreciate that very much. But most of all, we just hope everyone has a really good time because we are going to talk about Star Wars news. We're going to talk about how the swagger of Tony Gilroy later in the show. But we also have a live version of Will of the Force. So a lot to get into.
We do.
But before we do that, Lacey, let's just get after it, I guess, right?
Why sure.
wait?
Let's so, do it.
So we'll start off with the future of the Resistance Broadcast, okay? Going nowhere. The Resistance Broadcast is still here. We will be doing TRB Live on Thursday nights to talk about everything in Star Wars. And by that, I mean TRB is going to be loaded, packed tightly, but a big fat show for you every week, once a week now. So TRB is going from two episodes a week to one episode a week, but fear not. All the segments will be there. If it's a heavy news week, we're going to do news, Resistance Report. If there's no news, we're going to do our discussions, our Kessel runs, that type of stuff. We're always going to pepper in Will of the Force, One with the Force, probably some new stuff we're going to come up with. And of course, your questions, Resistance Transmissions, all that stuff. All the TRB stuff you love is going to live in that one show, which is still coming at you every week. So I know there's people who live and die by the Monday and the Thursday. You're still going to get your big fat dose of TRB, but it's going to be once a week. And there's a big reason for that. So I'm going to hand it over to Lacey to explain.
Do you want to talk first the new look for TRB?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Look at me. So we also have a new logo for the Resistance Broadcast, and we're going to debut that for you all right now. There it is.
Look at that.
A little familiarity, but definitely a freshness to it, a sharpness to it.
Mm-hmm.
And more changes coming from an aesthetic perspective to the Resistance Broadcast. So yeah, I'm excited for that. We gotta get some shirts rolling with that. I gotta get me some. I think I'm still like an XL at this point. Gotta get an XL.
Snug boy.
Yeah. When I wore that old shirt, I really did feel like David Schwimmer and Friends wearing his old like high school t-shirt. Old Navy's got my back right now, but yeah, I gotta get the new TRB logo on a shirt, and we have other new logos and updates coming for the Resistance Broadcast. But I really wanted to make sure that everyone understood that we are still giving you as much Star Wars as we always have. We're just putting a real focus into that one episode a week. That will be live and will hit all your podcast apps and be on the same feed. The Resistance Broadcast, you don't have to change where you're subscribed to that show. Mm-hmm. It is there on the channel, on the podcast apps, with a new look, some fun, exciting updates on the way as Star Wars continues to hit us with some good stuff.
Yeah.
So, yes, now that we got to the new look, a little sneak peek of the new logo, now we can explain why, Lacey, TRB is shifting to one episode per week.
Yeah, so TRB is now one episode a week starting the week of May 1st, right? Yes, May 1st.
May 2nd, yeah.
Yeah, is our first kind of TRB live show. That's the new part of TRB, should I say. But the exciting thing is that we're actually going to start debuting a new show, which is not Star Wars, which I know everyone's going, what? Not Star Wars? It's not Star Wars. It's kind of Star Wars-ish. It is a new pop culture show. So we'll be talking about film and TV and books and, you know, internet stuff, just anything that's going on in pop culture that's trending or nostalgic or something that we're just vibing. That's what we're going to talk about on Mondays of each week. We do have a new name and a new logo as well. I'm going to let John say the name because he's the one who came up with it. So go ahead, John.
I did come up with it. That's right. It's called Welcome to Nerd Town.
No, it's not.
It's called Nerdy and Nice. And you can find us on social media at Nerdy and Nice Pod. Mm-hmm. But there, if you're watching on YouTube, there's a look at our brand new logo and more to come with that from a visual standpoint. But
I love it.
We see nerdy and nice, rolls off the tongue. And I like our little tagline that we have cooking for it.
Yeah. What's the tagline, John?
The tagline is...
John's so proud of this, so I'm going to let him say it. Go ahead.
I feel like you sort of... All right. So my initial...
I love how everyone's quickly figuring out who's the nerdy one and who's the actual nice one, because it's not me.
I'm not sure I know either. But so Mondays are for the nerds, okay?
Mm.
So you're going to like wake up after a weekend and be like, oh, I got to go to work, or I got to go to school, or I got to do this another week of this. And we just want you to know that you're going to kick off your week with us as nerds, having fun, talking about all the stuff Lacey just listed, whatever's trending, new movies, new trailers, TV, a lot of fun stuff in the same style we always do, just about other things now. And Mondays are for the nerds. We're all going to be hanging out and having a good time. And it is going to be a playful pop culture podcast, bringing banter, spice, and everything nice. And that was Lacey's touch, by the way.
Sometimes I have good ideas. I have like four. So.
And I was like, wait, what if we put mine together with yours? And then that's really what
happened.
That's
how I actually read it when he texted me that, is I used that voice exactly. I've learned that I do have a John voice that I use from time to time, to the point that when I've used it on the phone before, John's like, don't use the John voice, because there is one. No, but that's so excited. It's kicking off May 6th, after Star Wars Day. We wanted to give everybody a breather after Star Wars Day, and we wanted to give ourselves breathers after Star Wars Day, to kick off something new. And like we said, this wouldn't have been possible without everyone that listens to us, supports us, and is constantly like, oh, I'd love to hear your thoughts on blank, or oh, what do you think about this casting? Well, now we're going to give that to you on Mondays. And then you're still going to get your Star Wars talk on Thursdays, which is great because even when news is slow, we're still going to cover all that stuff in one episode for you. So.
Yep. Yeah. And yeah, so there's always weeks where even right now, like we have some cool stories we're going to talk about. Maybe next week it's slow because they're waiting for May the 4th. And we know that happens every year. And we wonder, oh, they're going to release something, announce something.
Right.
So if it's slow next week, we'll do a discussion. We'll do a Kessel run. Like, we can change around TRB the way it fits Star Wars the best that week. And I'm really excited about that part of it because nothing is essentially changing. It's just getting better.
Yeah. So stay tuned for more updates about that and more updates coming to not only the pod, but to our Patreon and social media channels and stuff. But again, I'll put it up on the screen for those that are just joining the chat now. You can follow the pod currently on social channels at Nerdy and Nice Pod. And the first episode will be out May 6th.
Yeah. Excited. And we're still figuring that show out as we speak. So we don't even have more details to really give you on, but we know it's going to be a hell of a ride and we're really excited.
John's going to have to listen to all of my banter on my hyper obsessions that happen when I turn on Netflix like once a month.
Yes. Well, we will probably get into stuff like ridiculous reality TV, and I'm sure there'll be varying points of view.
Love
that
Is Blind is just like so good.
Yeah, I got hooked into that too.
It's so good. So good.
A lot of fun stuff ahead. And we've always off air and stuff talked about other, you know, we say nerdy in the title because you know, me geeking out about the Beetlejuice trailer. And so that's why, like, over the past year or so, we started peppering in more trailer reactions that weren't Star Wars, because we wanted to see, like, are people interested in our thoughts on this stuff too? So it's been something that's been in the works for a very long time, and we always kept kicking the can down the road. And, you know, with James leaving the show, hitting 700 on TRB, and realizing, like, maybe two Star Wars episodes a week.
It's a lot.
Doesn't need to be two Star Wars episodes a week. Even, yeah. like I think even with doing one episode a week, we're still putting out just as much podcast as other Star Wars podcasts.
Oh, it's just
we're 100%. Now putting a focus on it, onto that one show. And now we get to open things up and talk about the other stuff that we love too. Because how many times are we in the TRB Discord when, you know, we talk about Ghostbusters or...
Or people ask us, what other things do
you
like?
Game of Thrones, Harry Potter, you know, whatever people nerd out about. Like, mm-hmm. It's all going to be stuff we talk about. And it's just a lot of fun. And I know a lot of people who like Star Wars like a lot of that other stuff too. So I am very excited to get that.
Should be gone 89 Danny. Hey, Danny. Would like to know, are we going to get into Hallmark movies?
Well, only ones.
We might.
With Lacey Chabert as the lead actor.
Can I tell you, I was working on the social channels today, and I went and to go follow myself because I'm self-centered from the pod account, and I typed in Lacey, and the real Lacey came up, and I was like, who's the real Lacey? It was Lacey Chabert.
Oh, that's her handle?
I know. Yeah. Lacey, come on the show. Talk to the other Lacey. That's not the real one.
Yeah, let's talk Party of Five.
Talk Mean Girls. I also found two accounts that were faking as me. Like full accounts with my name, with my photo, with all my photos from my feed that they've taken and now posted on. It was very creepy. So go report those. But besides that, anyway.
So Lacey, yes. I know we have some super chats.
We do. We do have some super chats. So let's start those off. First, we have Chris. What up, Chris? He said, hey guys, greetings from the UK. Hello. Dropping in early as I can't make it, but I just wanted to show my support for you both as you take TRB forward. Thank you so much, Chris. That means a lot. Seriously.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it, man.
Next is David Ford. What up, David? He said, watching Spider-Man at AMC 20 after seeing Civil War for the third time at AMC 12, Kirsten Dunst double feature. Nice. I love Kirsten Dunst. Bring It On is like one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, that's great.
Good movie. Next up is Andrew Staley. What up, Andrew? He said, here's to a new era of TRB. Looking forward to more fun and great memories. We do too, Andrew.
Thank
We're
you,
so
Andrew.
Excited to have
Appreciate
you
it, man. Very excited.
Next is Darth Snips. What up, girl? Oh, look at her pic. She got a pic with Ahsoka back to back. You look like a rom-com. You know, the back to back. TRB fam at the airport flying home from a birthday trip to Galaxy's Edge. Thank you for an amazing community. Got to hang out with Danny. And had a blast. Love you guys.
I saw that.
I love
that's
that.
So cool.
Danny is the best. She's the best.
So I love when people get to meet up over our podcast. It's really cool.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Super
Safe trip.
And then there's Nikki. What up, Nikki? She said, hey, this is great. I'm so happy to be a part of this cool, nerdy Star Wars group. We're excited for you to be here.
Thank you, Nikki.
Very excited.
Appreciate it. Thank you, everybody, for those super chats. Very nice. We really appreciate it. All right, time to get into Star Wars. And now remember, ask the Resistance. If you have a Star Wars question, pop it in the chat using the hashtag so we know you want it in the segment.
That's right.
And we'll get to those later. But first, we are going to kick things off with a little familiarity, but a live version of our segment, Will of the Force.
I fear nothing for all this as the Force wills it.
All right, guys, before we get into Will of the Force, we're just going to ask that you please consider supporting us on Patreon. So there's lots of stuff on Patreon, live chats, Discord server, soon to be exclusive merch, as well as mini episodes and much, much more. But beyond that, you're supporting the podcast, what we do here. As we just said, we're expanding into new shows, travel, equipment, and just letting us do what we love to do here, which is talk about pop culture and Star Wars. So we really appreciate that. So if you want to be a part of that community, you also get to contribute to the show, like in this segment, Will of the Force. So head over there, patreon.com/resistancebroadcast for now, until we figure things out. But yes, that will be the spot to go. And you can you could submit questions at the major tier and above for the show. So for those of you that are joining in, Will of the Force, we confront the most pivotal questions facing the saga, navigating this current of speculation and prophecy to uncover the truth as we decide, will they or won't they, throughout the Star Wars universe. So first up, we have a Patreon submission from Commander Joey Sack. Thank you so much, Joey, who asks, hey, Joe. Will Rupert, is it friend or friend?
I think it's friend.
Is it friend? I never know.
I mean, are you talking about the 1990s sitcom Friends?
You're such a jerk. First question of the show. I don't know if it's Friend. That's why I'm asking. Anyway, Rupert Friend, ever play the Grand Inquisitor again, John?
Did I ever tell you what me and Johnny's song is together, my son?
No.
Since he was a little baby, I always sung this to him from Toy Story. You've got a friend in me.
You're such a jerk.
That is our song, though. But anyway.
Family Guy has one of the funniest skits when he starts to sing like that guy. And he's like, lady eating an apple.
Oh, yeah. Apples, you got apples. Yeah. That guy, Randy Newman.
Yeah, Randy Newman.
That guy. All right. Will Rupert Friend ever play the Grand Inquisitor again? I don't think so. I know Ewan McGregor's like pushing for a season two of Obi-Wan Kenobi, and I think that's the only spot we'd likely see him in. I think they're dialing back on the Disney Plus series a bit. I'm not sure, you know, Lando movie, does he work in there somehow with that timeline? I don't know. I don't think a season two of Obi-Wan's coming. And we know when the Grand Inquisitor dies. Well, these days, you don't know. Way less than we ever did before.
No one has ever really gone, John.
Yeah, of course. but I'm going to say no. I don't think he is. I thought he was fine, too. People like dogged on the look because he is not an animated character and he couldn't stretch his head.
Right.
But I thought he did just fine. I thought he did a really good job in the role. And I think that was enough, you know? So while I thought he was great, I just don't know that we're going to see him again. So my apologies to my friend, Rupert.
Well, friend, you had a good run. I don't see him doing this anymore. I think this is a one-time thing. I really don't think they're going to do another season of Obi-Wan Kenobi. Like you've said before, John, I think word for word you've said, like, the only person they'd be pleasing is Ewan McGregor. I like to think that Hayden would somehow get to play Darth Vader again. And as we have seen with the Empire's state building stuff and the other things that Hayden's been doing, he's having the time of his life. Ahsoka, like, I will take all the Hayden that there is to give.
Sure.
But I just don't think Obi-Wan is that story. So the question is, are we ever going to get a Vader series, which someone was saying in the chat before? I don't know. But it's not going to have Rupert Friend in it.
You can't do a Vader series, in my opinion. One, because...
You wanted one.
I wanted a Vader movie. But yeah. I just feel like Vader, like, we're in... That's Golden Goose territory. Like, you don't use Vader on Disney Plus, where the only potential of earnings for that are people subscribing to the service.
Sure.
I think if you do Vader in that capacity, which I don't know that they should anymore, I'll be there day one. It has to be a movie because you have to imagine big bucks with a Vader movie. Like even people who checked out of Star Wars, even people who hate Star Wars, who still talk about Star Wars all the time, are going to be watch that four times in the theaters. That a Vader movie would be guaranteed bucks. But I like them having reservation on doing it, so I'm torn there. But I don't think there's any chance they would do Disney Plus for a Vader series.
Yeah, I don't think they'd use Vader either, now that you've talked about it, because, like you said, he's such a big ticket character. I mean, they used him to advertise Rogue One. Like, when he showed up in the trailer, people lost it. And I think he drove a lot of the excitement, and or one of the biggest moments of the movie was Vader at the end of Rogue One. No doubt. He is the main character on the art for Celebration next year. Like, he's in front of Mount Fuji. They use Vader is so recognizable that, like, why wouldn't you want to do a Vader series? But alas, we don't have that yet. But I don't think getting more Grand Inquisitor. All right. The next question is, after seeing her return in the comics and now the upcoming Star Wars Outlaw game, assuming the Lando movie is made, will Emilia Clarke return as Kira in that movie? John.
You go first.
You want me to go first? If there's a movie being made with Lando, which right now it currently is, I would say yes, she's going to be in there at some point. I think she's making a cameo. I don't think she's going to be a main character, but they set it up in Solo where she walks up to him and she's like, oh, I know this perfect guy for this job. And he's like, oh, Kira, hello. Like, there's a story there. And I think it's an easy way to connect those movies together, because then when you go into Solo, the next time you watch it, you're like, ah, this exchange is about blank. So I'm going to say yes, I think she will.
I mean, not to be boring, but I'm going to agree with you. And I love Emilia Clarke. Like, I want her to be in everything. I think she's great. So great. I loved her in Game of Thrones. I've loved her in almost everything she's done. I say that because I'm looking at her filmography and there hasn't been a lot going on. Now, that could be personal choice, of course. We don't know.
Right.
But I have to imagine if Donald Glover is doing this, and as you know, we pose the question, let's just say it, it's being made. Guaranteed. I'd like to think that it serves as some sort of pseudo sequel to Solo.
Right.
I just sounded like Phil Collins there for a minute. And of course, I would love to see Alden back and see, like, because, you know, we talk about where's the love and the romance and even a tragic romance. Like, the end of Solo is so ripe for that, because she leaves Han and he's literally watching her fly out of his life after betraying him, and she didn't have much choice in the matter. That there's a lot to pick off there. But I do think she would come back if it takes place around that time, which I think it is. You know, they're not going to leapfrog Billy Dee Williams or anything like that.
Right.
Lucasfilm doesn't really do that. The only time they've done it so far is with Mon Mothma for Ahsoka. Mm-hmm. But I think so. I think so.
I hope so. Next up is a Patreon submission from Commander Ian Thompson. What up, Ian? He said, will we get any surprise announcements on May 4th? If so, what do you think they'll be, John?
I don't think anything big. I don't know what they would announce, because I don't think they're going to be announcing any new Disney Plus shows. I would think if that is the case, probably D23. And for movies, I think we sort of get what's going on with movies. We may get a casting announcement, but as far as like a project or something, I don't think so. So I don't know what you mean, Ian, by surprise announcement. It's a loose question. So like, if they released a new line of Star Wars Pez dispensers, is that a surprise announcement? I guess so. But maybe a casting announcement or something, but I'm going into this May the 4th like I do every year, because I learned my lesson. I'm always expecting big announcements, and usually they don't, as far as I remember. They've put stuff out on May the 4th, so I'm leaning no. I don't know. What do you think, Lacey?
I think we're going to get an Acolyte trailer, because it's a month out. May the 4th is a month from Acolyte, which will have Yoda in it, which is our pizza pie bet, for those of you.
We do have a pizza pie bet.
Following along at home.
Wait, what's the bet? Refresh the audience.
The bet is, at any point, not on just May 4th, any point, any trailer for The Acolyte, Yoda will show up.
I feel like you stretched the dough.
I did not stretch the dough. I enjoy your working pizza terms into it. But I did not. That was it. It was before the show. Because the whole joke was that you were saying that, why would they put out a trailer for Ghostbusters? This is my John voice, by the way. Why would they put out a trailer for Ghostbusters when there's Ghostbusters is out? And they put it out right before Ghostbusters came out. So I was saying, well, the Acolyte's going to obviously put Yoda in their trailer. And that's how mm-hmm. this whole thing came about. So I have approximately a month and 2 weeks to make Yoda show up in a trailer, or I owe John a pizza.
And if he does show up, I owe you a pizza.
Delivered.
Delivered to the other person's house.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
100%.
Yep. Yeah. So we'll
my big May 4th announcements, I think there's going to be the trailer for Acolyte. I think there will probably be some type of book announcement on that day, as well as some type of casting or directing choice for an upcoming project.
Wow, that's big.
Yeah,
that's
I
bold.
Think those are my three picks.
All right. We will see what happens.
We will see what happens. All right. So then we're going to get into our last question here. Will Rey Skywalker reveal her Sheevi heritage to her students in the upcoming Rey movie, or will she keep it a secret moving forward? John.
I think it will be something that she makes known. I think because with, you know, you want to move this story forward. You want to get away from everything tied to the Skywalker saga. I think Rey, like making that a part of the story or the plot that Rey has to conceal this thing, just pulls us back to episode 9-ish territory because she went through that struggle where sort of like Leia knew, Luke knew, but they didn't tell her. And
that was
and,
bloodline.
Like, she knew.
Everybody found out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She knew and didn't want to tell anybody. And like Finn's like, tell me. She's like, no, you just don't understand. And you know, that stuff. So I think if they brought that forward to this new one, it would just feel like we're stuck. So I think it has to be one of those things where it's mentioned or something. And it's, we, the audience, are sort of told in a very quick way that everyone understands that. And then we move forward. I think that's the best way to do it. I hope it's not something that they lean upon as someone's trying to blow up her spot now that she's got this new Jedi Order and tell people, you know, it is like the bloodline thing, like finding out Leia's son is Kylo Ren and, you know, or she, no, finding out Leia's father is Darth Vader, that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any room for it. I want to see them moving forward. I think that's the best way. I don't know what you think, but.
That is interesting. I kind of think they're going to keep it a secret. Not necessarily from the viewer, because we all know, but I don't see how we're going to have a story where she wants to let that go from her past and then have it keep getting brought up. Also, how are people going to trust her if they're going to assume the worst, you know, judge a book? Like, the whole sequel trilogy was her kind of figuring out who she was. And then The Rise of Skywalker, she's battling with those internal feelings with Leia and then also with Luke. And then at the end, they accept her. I think that was a very personal moment for her that I can't see her walking around being like, yo, I'm a Palpatine, it's okay. Like, I feel like she let that go. They could mention it in the movie, to which she answers to it being like, that is true, but I don't think she's openly giving that information to people. That's my thought.
Interesting.
But speaking of that, we do have a lot of more familial discussions coming up in Resistance Report.
We do. We shall and we will.
It's the Resistance.
All right, news, Star Wars news. We'll get into that in just a minute. Before we do, Lacey, I did see a super chat come in.
We did have a super chat come in. That is true. One of the best people ever, ChibiGon89, Danny. What up, Danny? Thanks for the super chat. She said, I need to head out. Mom's B-Day. Happy birthday, Mom.
Happy birthday.
But I wanted to congratulate you on this new era of the podcast. Can't wait for the launch of Nice. I always say this backwards. Nerdy and Nice. Nerdy and Nice. Happy birthday to Darth Snips and Diana. Guys, Darth Snips, Diana, happy birthday as well. Awesome. Congratulations. Happy birthday. You're born.
Happy birthday. Thank you, Danny.
Thank you so much. And we got another one just now from Jolton Jedi DiMaggio, who said, a rare chance for me to catch you guys live. Keep doing everything you do for us. Thank you. No, thank you.
Thank you, man. Appreciate that. Very,
very much. Darth Revan? That's Revan,
looks
right?
Like a Revan situation in his profile picture. Yeah.
Sick. And then Christian Morales. What up, Christian? Christian, which one is it, man? He says, I'm at my kid's violin recital, so I can't stay. But I want to drop by and say hello there.
Oh my god, he outs himself.
His
right.
kid's like, wee, wah, wee, wah, yeah. wee.
That's like, that actually sounded, I closed my eyes for a second and I thought I was listening
right there.
To
Mozart.
Yo-Yo Ma. Yeah. I don't know any famous violinists. I don't even think Yo-Yo Ma plays the violin. He might. But Chris Morales, it's like those guys in the commercials that you see, you think they're taking a video of a wedding, but they're really watching like golf. That's what he's doing right now. But thank you, man. Appreciate it. You're the man. Appreciate it.
Awesome. All right. Let's get into it.
First things first, Bad Batch, Season 3, Episode 13, Into the Breach. We are marching towards the end of the Bad Batch, and we are in this situation where a little Andor-y, which it's funny, I talked about that last week.
Oh my gosh,
the music felt like
Andor. Yeah.
Yeah. So, also a little Shawshank vibes going on with Omega looking to break out through the wall. But the juxtaposition of her being in there and trying to plot a plan to get the kids out. Meanwhile, you have the Bad Batch trying to get to her to help get her out. Something's going to give here. I'm still hoping for a happy ending for everybody. I'm at this point, I'm very confident that all the kids are going to get out. I hope the same for Omega. Bad Batch, I'm not sure what's going to happen because they already lost Tech. And I wonder if it's like going to be one of those sacrifice things that Star Wars loves to do.
Dave Filoni loves to do.
Yeah, but I enjoyed the episode because I like cat and mouse stuff. And while some of the stuff was predictable, like when she heard that they were coming back into the room and she started boarding up the tiles on the wall. And I'm like, they do that thing where they make it seem like she's going to get caught. And
it's
then
the
I'm like,
parallel
she's gonna be
cut.
Yeah, she's going to be sitting. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's a parallel cut.
Yeah, it's a parallel cut. So
you know what? You want to know the famous one that in film school that I was taught on, like to build tension?
No.
Silence of the Lambs. Where they're going into the person's house and it's like the FBI agents and they're trying to get in the house and then they're cutting between the guy and them running to the house and then they go into the wrong house.
Oh, yes.
That's kind of like the, you see this happening
over here. No one does that a lot. Yeah.
You see it and you're like, oh my God, that's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to, or like Batman does it. Like
Batman. Yeah, Dark Knight. Yeah. Christopher Nolan did it. Yeah. And then, of course, yeah, she's just sitting there nice and calmly in her you know, bed, so to speak. Mm-hmm, So there were predictable elements of it. But I loved what the Bad Batch were doing, too, because I feel like for a lot, not a lot, but pockets of this series, they were almost sidetracked to worry about Omega or other things to the point where they couldn't operate as a machine. And we're seeing more of them working cohesively together. Or if they're separated, just trusting the other one to get it done, and they do. And there's classic moments of this where they just get attached to the ship in time, and Omega just gets the wall piece back together. And it's that classic Star Wars, Indiana Jones, George Lucas prescribed, make you nervous storytelling of just getting away or just getting in time type of thing. I enjoyed it. I'm curious to see where they're going to close this thing out. But your thoughts on Bad Batch. Because you haven't been the biggest Bad Batch fan. You haven't watched all of it and stuff.
I'm not. Yeah. I'll openly admit I'm not. But that's okay. It's all right. Yeah. There's tons of stuff for everybody like in Star Wars. But I won't discount its storytelling abilities and its music and its character development. It's still an awesome show. It's just not my favorite. And that's okay. That being said, this episode was super tense, as you were just discussing. Like, the idea that Omega is stuck in the situation that we felt similarly with the Mandalorian and Grogu, where he handed over Grogu at the beginning and everyone's like, what are you, you're handing over a baby? Especially now that I'm a mom, it's like a very tense situation with children. Yes. Anytime there's children involved, it's like automatically the stakes are higher. I think she's going to get out. There were a lot of connections with Andor where, you know, they're both in prison and they're both trying to get out and they're working together and she's kind of leading the charge just like Cassian was. it's my understanding the doctor's name is Hemlock, right? Like, that's a clear kind of connection with, like, literary references of Hemlock and, like, death and mortality. Like, that to me is crazy. That was a deliberate choice, mm-hmm. obviously, of, like, this person is not good. But, yeah, I hope the Bad Batch make it out. I don't think they will at this point. Or they won't all make it out. It was interesting to watch, what's his name? Rampart. That's his name. Wanted to make sure I got it right. Kind of join them in their crusade. And it was the typical, like, we're breaking in. Which, by the way, this happens a lot in Star Wars. The break-in scenario. Like, we're going to break in and get something out. We're going to break in and get someone out. We're going to break in and get these plans. It's amazing how bad the security is at the Empire, because I feel like they're constantly breaking in.
And they always just have to be like, oh, it's their arrogance. Like, that's always the thing.
Yeah, totally. But I think the music really, like you said, John, was really Andor-ish. It had
very
that
noir
vibe.
Sounding.
Yeah, and it's incredibly dark. I said this last time when we were talking about the whole children thing. Like, it's dark for what one would assume is a children's show. Or at least for children that are 12, like George Lucas always intended, it is a dark story. So I'm hoping there's some light at the end of the tunnel, but we will see.
Yeah, and the one scene when they breach the Imperial, command center in the relay station, like that room, the circular room, and how they first attempt to just convince them that they're supposed to be there and it doesn't work, felt very A New Hope when they break into the detention center.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh man, that has to be like that, because the room looked just like it.
Right.
The center console reminded me of when Han was talking about the fake reactor leak.
Mm-hmm.
I like when they do subtle throwbacks like that, sometimes more than the bang you over the head Easter egg. But I remember as soon as they open those doors and they're sort of trying to still con their way and the guy wasn't buying it and then they stun them, I'm like, that's pretty much like A New Hope, except Han and Chewie and Luke were just killing everybody. But it's an animated show, so you have to set your blasters to stun, and I understand that. But that reminded me a lot of A New Hope, and I wonder if a lot of people felt that way too, that particular scene. But anyway,
I do think there's also this big piece with the Bad Batch of the theme with Star Wars of, like, the greater good. Like, at what point are you doing things for yourself versus the greater cause versus, tons of people you're going to save over here, a million people versus the one. So they're going after Omega, but, like, who else are they helping along the way? And are they making the right choices? What ripples are they going to have once they decide to go, hey, we're definitely doing this no matter what, we're going to get her out of there? Who's going to fall along the way for
right.
that cause?
Yeah.
So we'll see.
I'm curious how they're going to wrap it up. I imagine there's going to be some sadness.
Right.
But hopefully overall a happy ending give me a nicely finished story. I'm not saying we have to necessarily say goodbye to these characters, but
I do have a super chat that goes along with this, which is from Barclay Erickson. Thank you so much for the super chat. Said, will they sneak Omega out under Hunter's trench coat?
Sounds good. Or have her on his shoulders as the face.
Well, that's very Obi-Wan Kenobi, remember? He was like, just walk with me.
Yeah.
That was so weird.
Yeah.
I'll admit it. That was weird.
That was a weird choice. A little weird. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So moving on from the Bad Batch. Just again, you want questions on the show, pop them in the chat. We already have a few in, I see. Use hashtag Ask the Resistance and submit your Star Wars question in the chat.
Yeah,
and we'll get to it later in the show. All right, next up we have, so Tony Gilroy, I teased about his sort of bravado and self-confidence earlier. He was at the Writers Guild Awards being interviewed with very good microphones. And he was, I guess, asked about what's going on with Andor. And instead of just reading the quote or paraphrasing, we actually are going to see the man himself and get his whole cadence here.
Take it away, Tony.
I've been on Andor for 5 years now. We're finishing the second half. I've had a lot of fun over the years, but I don't know whether I've ever done anything as important as these 24 hours of storytelling that we're doing now. So I don't know if it's just because it's the thing I'm on, but I don't think so. I've never had a chance to work this big before, so it's a pretty big deal for me.
That's a big, big statement to make.
Definitely,
I mean, one, because he was involved with Rogue One. So if this, you know, second half of Andor is more important than that, that alone in itself is a headline. But, you know, the Bourne movies, Nightcrawler, like a lot of the stuff he's done, big, big stuff. And I, you know, you get tendencies and patterns from people and how they sort of present themselves. And I always felt that Tony Gilroy was very candid, very just to the point, matter of fact. So for him to come out and say that, he has to be just supremely confident, because he's not on the couch on the Tonight Show just trying to get people to subscribe to Disney Plus right now. He's on the red carpet of the Writers Guild Awards talking to himself, talking about himself as a writer, as a showrunner.
In the room with the best writers in the industry, yeah.
Right, saying this is the most important stuff he's done, specifically Andor Season 2. How can that not get you excited? So, but I also like seeing people who are making Star Wars, because it does, I think there is still this cloud of uncertainty. You know, we talk about earlier in the show, if the Lando movie gets made, and you're talking about Donald Glover, and we have to say those words because of what's been going on with some Star Wars productions over the years. I like seeing the confidence coming from somebody
right.
who is a showrunner of a show that happened to be one of the less viewed shows, but critically praised. Most audience seem to love it. So it gets me more excited for Andor Season 2. It's not going to put me in a situation where I'm like, oh, he's just bloviating and just saying this just to say it. I think when he says things, he means it. So what do you think about what Gilroy has to say here?
Man, this was a packed statement, guys. I know it sounds like a very simple like sentence, couple sentences, like might be a throwaway. I don't think it was at all. I think he's saying so much with these statements. So first of all, he's talking about the importance of storytelling, which tells us that the stories we're going to get in season two are going to be deep, emotional, a lot of character development. That just excites me, because that's one of the things that made it stand out in the first season. We're also going to get scale. To say that this is the biggest project you've ever worked on, to me, that talks about cinematography, locations, shoots, costumes, makeup, visual effects. Like, everything we're going to get from this is just at a bigger scale than he's ever done. And like you said, John, he's worked on all these crazy projects, including Rogue One. So to say that this is the biggest thing, is just really exciting. I think there's also the continuation of quality. He knows that Andor season one was top notch. It was critically acclaimed. Most fans really, really liked it. But more than that, the industry loved it. People are saying it's the best Star Wars that's ever been made. It's a story that everybody needs right now, that kind of thing. So we can expect that to continue on with season two.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing that kind of piqued my interest was the possibility of some type of interconnected storytelling, because he says something that's, I don't know, it just kind of piqued my interest, where he says, like, this is the most important 24 hours of storytelling. So you're like, okay, what do I think of? I think of the show 24, where it's like every episode is an hour of this full day, or like just the amount of time that he's saying is important has to be a story that connects to all these other parts of the galaxy, that like weaves its tail into other places.
Yeah, good point.
That a couple sentences, all he said was like, yeah, 24 hours is really big to me. I'm like, oh my God, he just said so many things in like three sentences.
So do you think, because every three episodes is going to represent a year in the last 4 years, counting down to Rogue One, do you think the finale is going to be one of those, like, we're dedicating, or the last two episodes are going to be dedicated to one day because it's this important day? Do you think it's going to be the end?
Well, the end in the sense of Cassian's end? Like, what do you mean by end?
The end of the show. Like, say, whatever gets Cassian to leave to go to the Ring of Caffrine to start off Rogue One, because they did say
it goes
this is
right
going to go
into.
Right up to the end.
Yeah.
So when he says these 24 hours, if he's referring to in story, then I wonder if it's like these three episodes are a whole year. These three are a whole year. These three are a whole year. And then this one is a whole year, but the last episode is going to be about this one day. Like, really just make the, that's like, wild. Whatever happened that day is very important.
Yeah. That would be insane storytelling to, like,
yeah,
go fast, 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 slow. We're dragging this out. And it's probably going to be the most tense thing ever. I don't know how I feel about that. Like, I don't know if that's how you would do it, but I could see him doing it. I think that in saying that this is the biggest thing he's ever done, it's ambitious, it's, you know, the best storytelling, to me it means that every single minute of this season counts. Like, no one better say anything is filler, because he's making every single minute, hour, count for this story.
Yeah.
And I think there is, you can't look at this story of the rise of the empire and a resistance and a rebellion without also looking at the current times in the world. I think he also finds the importance of the little guy winning in the end, or the little guy getting ahead against the big bad guy in times where we're seeing this now in the world. So I think he also is on that side of it too. He's like seeing the reflection of current times in this story. Like a story people need, kind of.
And it could be because he did say something about how they wanted him to do 5 seasons. And he's like, I can't spend that much time on this.
Because he said five years. Like, I didn't even realize it. He's been on this for five years.
And then before that, Rogue One. So a part of this could also be the fact that it is toward the end now. And maybe he's enjoying that fact and he's appreciating it more, as opposed to, like, you know, when you start a project and you, like, look too far down the road, you're like, we have so much we got to do.
Right.
But now that maybe he's at the end, because he uses the word fun too. So maybe now that he's at the end, it's sort of this mix of executing, confidence, but also more reflective, because they are reaching the end of the road. And as far as I understand it, this is the end of the road for him in Star Wars. I'm sure if it was up to Lucasfilm, it wouldn't be. But to me, it sounds
like he's ready to move on. Yeah,
he's all set right now. So he's going to give it his all to close this thing out. And
there's also the piece.
What a quote.
Yeah. And there's also the piece of he was faced with so many different delays and issues and challenges with the writer's strikes and production delays and, you know, COVID throughout this time through this project and stuff like that, where he's basically promising you that that doesn't matter. All those challenges that they were faced with, all the delays, he's still going to deliver on what everybody expects from season one and make it better than that. So I can't wait.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm sure everyone listening feels the same way. Even if you didn't like Andor wasn't necessarily my favorite.
Yeah.
But I'm still very excited because it's Star Wars. So I'm looking forward to how they close out that story and lead us into Rogue One. It'll be a nice, be able to watch the end of Andor, watch Rogue One, then watch A New Hope. All of a sudden, you're like, all these things go right into the next one.
What happened? What year is it?
What day is it? Where are my kids? What is happening? Yeah. All right. So next up, our last news story, Lacey, going to start off with you here. The Acolyte team, more stories coming out. This time it's Entertainment Weekly providing the snippets. But again, it's Daphne Keene making the quotes. Again, for people who don't know Daphne Keene, if you saw Logan, she was the young girl who played X-23, the clone of Wolverine. She's grown up now, like 20 years old, playing a Jedi apprentice. And she has a lot to say. And Lacey, the quote that people took away from this, and I want to get your thoughts on this first, and then, of course, anything else you took away from this article. But the quote was regarding the lightsabers. Yeah, that was a very frequent conversation that we had. It was very much, we want to top the Darth Maul fight, the most iconic fight, I think, in the Star Wars cinematic universe. It's such an amazing fight, and we were all so excited about the saber fights. There's such a skill and a craft to it that it feels so OG Star Wars and feels so impressive when you see it as a viewer. Now, people took that quote and gave their opinions on that.
Yeah.
But I want to see what your thoughts on what Daphne had to say, plus anything else you got took away from that article.
Well, the title of this episode is The Bold Claim Tony Gilroy is Making About Andor. I would turn that around and say that is a bold claim that Daphne Keene is making about these lightsaber fights.
Bold ambition, yeah.
Yeah. I'm surprised she said that they're trying to top that, because I think that automatically creates this competition that's kind of unnecessary. Like, everything's its own project. It doesn't have to be like this or that. I understand drawing the reference into fans' minds, like saying, like, remember how awesome this was? That's what we're trying to do, which I appreciate. But at the same time, like, to say that you're going to be better than Ray Park, like, I'm sorry, that's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for her, because Ray Park is Ray Park. And I think we all have to acknowledge his skill and just overall athleticism that is insane. That being said, from her quotes and interview in total, I took a lot from, like, nostalgia and how she grew up with Star Wars and would grab sticks and play in the street and be like, I have a lightsaber. And the fact that she was doing kind of the Laura Dern thing where she kept making noises with her mouth and they were like, stop doing that, please. Right. Because it shows up on film. The thing that made me kind of laugh to myself was when she said that she was smiling so much that they were like, stop smiling so much. And she's like, how could you not? Like, you're doing Star Wars. It's so exciting. Because I know anytime I talk about Star Wars, I'm smiling and excited. And just the idea of getting to geek out about it is just such a thrill for me. So the thought of being dressed up as an alien in Jedi robes, running around on a set with lightsabers, like, how could you not be smiling?
Agreed.
It's just so exciting. I've been saying for weeks with the Acolyte, the thing that I'm most interested in is the lightsaber battles and the fighting and the choreography with the stunts. I think this show needs to have good stunts and choreography lightsabers if they want to make it have the impact that they're trying to make. You can't have fake visual effects fights. You can't have, you know, kind of lame just smacking fights or, you know, too much spinning. It's got to be really well-timed, kind of beautiful athletic dances that will leave you being like, whoa, they're really great. But yeah, I think she said great things. It's just getting me more excited about the show. But I highly doubt they're going to top Ray Park in Phantom Menace. Like, because regardless of what you think about the Phantom Menace, that fight scene, as soon as those doors opened up, it's one of the best entrances in Star Wars. So.
Oh, yeah.
I take up that challenge that she's posing here. Prove me wrong, Daphne Keane. Prove me wrong. But it does lend a little bit of detail into her character because they told her to stop smiling all the time. I wonder if, first of all, her character's really serious. Because if she was a smiley character, they wouldn't care if she's smiling all the time.
Right.
Or two, how dark is this show that they're telling her not to smile? Stop enjoying yourself. You're about to die.
I think maybe the latter. Yeah. That's a lot of pressure on the composer, Michael Abels, because pairing with that Duel of the Fates is the track Duel of the Fates by John Williams, which elevates that Phantom Menace lightsaber duel. I have a hot take on this. I don't think the Darth Maul Duel of the Fates is the best lightsaber duel in Star Wars.
I'm not saying it's the best one. Are you arguing what she says?
Well, she's saying. Mm. Yeah, she's saying it is. So the only thing I think, I don't think it's dangerous that she said this, but it immediately allows the chance for fans to build up expectations now for the lightsaber work in this show that didn't need to exist. So now
that's kind of what I was touching on. It's like that competition that's unnecessary. Yeah.
Yeah, for people who dial into this and like absorb this quote, even if you try to train yourself not to, you're going in saying like, oh, well, I'm expecting good stuff here. She aimed high for the Darth Maul stuff. So if it doesn't reach that for them, especially on Disney Plus, I know they're shooting in live sets and stuff, it just creates unnecessary hype.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I like the confidence and the ambition. Actually, the better word is the ambition that they are aiming that high. Why not aim that high? Try to be the best you can doing this Star Wars stuff.
Yeah, prove me wrong, basically.
I like my lightsaber duels to have dialogue. And especially in a show like this that's supposed to be a mystery and we're trying to like uncover things. I want people to be like, who are you? Where'd you come from? And or trying to lure somebody to the dark side. I love that stuff as opposed to just the aerobatics and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The one My one takeaway from this quote, which might be a tell, sort of like you were bringing up, Lacey, about like maybe she's not supposed to be smiley because of her character and stuff. She brings up the two people she spent the most time doing lightsaber stuff with, which she refers to him as JJ, but that's Lee Jung-jae.
Mm-hmm.
So she calls him JJ, which is funny. She's saying that he got so good at his lightsaber work, but also Charlie, who we saw paired together with her in that photo, he plays Yord Fandar.
Yeah.
The guy from, he was in Russian Doll.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, these are the two characters she's spending the most time with, at least in the action scenes. So then when I look at it and who these characters are, you have Lee Jung-jae, who plays Sol, who's the master. She's one of his Padawans, who is really good. Like, almost sounds a little like Ahsoka, where she's just really good at what she does, but she also respects her master. And then you have this other guy, Yord Fandar, who is a master, but he might not be as good as she is. So the three of them are going to have
Shin
some...
She's giving me Shin Hati vibes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think she's going to be more of a chill... Like, not by the book Jedi, but respects her role as a Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
But again, this show, they may just turn us on our heads on that. But I think there's going to be some sort of clear dichotomy between Sol, Yord Fandar, and Jackie Lon. I have to get these names down, who Daphne Keene plays, because she points out here that those are the two that she spent a lot of time with the stunt team.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the three of them are in this big fight against some dark side users. Who knows? But I think that's a slight tell of where her character is going to be spending, her character is going to be spending most of her time with. But, and right. Again, I love the enthusiasm too. Her talking about being a little kid, which wasn't that long ago, loving Star Wars. So maybe she grew up, The Force Awakens came out 9 years ago. She was 10 years old. She's probably right in the pocket, just seeing herself as, seeing Rey, Daisy Ridley, a girl on screen, just killing it. And now she is in Star Wars. That's sort of what we were talking about a long time ago.
Right.
The importance of Rey and that sort of stuff. So I love everything I'm getting here from Daphne Keene. I do find it interesting that she seems to be the most quoted now in two outlets, Empire and now Entertainment Weekly. So keep your eye on that character, Jackie Lon, Sol's young Padawan. It should be an interesting follow as that show takes off.
Mm-hmm.
In about
unless
a month
she's
and a half.
The most free to answer questions.
Yeah, that could be too. That could be, yeah, that very, very much so. I could be way over reading that. But the other thing we saw tonight, Jeff Snyder reported, so not official or anything like that, but he seems to know his Star Wars stuff really well. Gotta give it to him.
Right.
He was on Roka's show, Hot Mike. And he reported that The Acolyte has also cast David Harewood. He was in Homeland, a bunch of other stuff. But at least as far as we know, that's nothing that had been officially released. So I don't know if that's just something they wanted to keep in the weeds at Lucasfilm. We're just saying what Jeff Snyder had put out there to the public, that he's saying The Acolyte has cast David Harewood. So do with that what you will. But we just wanted to share that because we saw that before we came on.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Lacey, that is it. Unless you do you have anything else on Acolyte that you wanted to touch on or anything else going on?
I don't. I'm just dying to see a new trailer. Just give me something behind the scenes. Oh, I'd love a behind the scenes reel on May 4th. That would be killer.
For
Acolyte? Yeah.
Ooh,
like a behind the scenes, like this is we're on set.
Like a sizzle?
Yes. Love me a good sizzle.
I like sizzles. Yeah. What was the sizzle? Was it Andor we got that sizzle on that big webcast that Kathleen Kennedy did?
Yeah.
That
oh
was
my God,
cool.
That webcast.
I do like those. You know what we got to do, Lacey? We have to, on one episode coming up, we have to rewatch that webcast and say like, nope, yep, nope, yep. Just go through it and see what happened.
Yeah.
What a moment. What a moment. All right. That wraps up the Resistance Report. So why don't we get to some of the questions that were submitted in Ask the Resistance.
I've been wondering, what are midichlorians?
All right. Now, I know we have a couple of super chats. So why don't we get to those first?
We do. So first up, we have Mike Romori. What up, Mike? This is his fifth super chat on the show. Thank you so much.
Mike.
He said,
thanks,
sugar and spice with nerdy and nice. Cheers to the new era, TRB. Thank you guys so much. Or thank you so much, Mike. He said, love the new logo and XC Teddy or the new direction.
Huh? Excited for the new direction.
I read whatever's on the teleprompter.
XC Teddy.
My daughter Reagan says hi. Hello.
Hi, Reagan.
Nice to see you. Beautiful name. Thanks for the super chat. We're very excited too. It's been, like we said, in the making for a little bit now. And it's one of those things that are like, let's do it. Let's make that jump. And we're excited. And it, of course, it wouldn't be a show without a super chat from Freezy2324. What up,
Freezy,
man? He said, sup, guys. Can't wait to grab a new shirt. I can't wait to see what your photo is every week, because this week it's Mark Hamill. And every week it changes. And I thoroughly enjoy seeing who you're with every week.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, we'll have new merch up soon. Stay tuned.
Yeah.
And we also have some other designs too, because we did do the new logo, but we also might have reworked some older logos, so there'll be like a couple versions you can choose from. But yeah,
we're still we needed to be back with you as soon as possible, but things are still
cooking.
We're still working. Cooking. My hands are in the dough, Gillerin. Another pizza reference.
I made Lacey's a pizza last weekend.
Lacey has the shovel. The shovel they put in the oven. You're doing that.
Isn't it
doing
a pizza board?
Is it a board?
It's a board.
It's on a shovel?
No, it's a pizza board. But I did make a pizza last weekend. I was very proud of myself. So I'd made pizzas previously, and they never worked right. Like the dough never stretched really great, and it was awkward. So the other weekend I was at Stu Leonard's, and I stopped. Of course, I was at Stu Leonard's. Stu Leonard's sponsor us. I was at Stu Leonard's and I was stopped by the pizza section, and I watched the guys that work there for a little bit, and I noticed they don't stretch it out on the table.
No, they flip it in the air.
No, not even that. They hold it up and stretch it as they keep spinning it, and they stretch it as they go. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to try that. And I tried it, and it was amazing. It worked great. I was like, I'm using gravity. It's a little science.
I also love that you're in Connecticut, the pizza capital of Earth, and you're like, let me see how those Stu Leonard's boys make their pizza.
I was there anyway. Okay, if anybody's wondering, they have great sales on organic milk. So if you're looking for organic milk at half the price of everywhere else, that's where I go. And so when I was passing by,
I want to make a real nice sandwich. I'm going to hop down a Subway and see how the boys get it done. Spicy Italian.
I'm multi-grain. See what the Stu Leonard's pizza boys.
Let's see what these Stu Leonard's boys are doing with this dough. Let's figure out the secret. Together we can find the secret to immortality of pizza.
And they sell the pizza dough and they sell the pizza sauce and everything. So I bought the dough, I bought the sauce, and I made the pizza in my house.
Man.
And it was great. It was great.
All right.
I'm not going to say if, because it's not going to happen. So when I win my pizza, I'll make a pizza.
I'll make you a pizza.
A pizza at my house, and I'll serve you both. And I'll say, John, which pizza is better?
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
And it will be Stu Leonard's pizza. Or was it Roseland? I've never had Roseland.
Oh, I love Roseland. That's... No, you don't have to drive all the way out there. I
mean, that was the bet.
It's going to be a hike. But... Oh, all right.
That was
well,
the bet.
Why? Where do I have to get your pizza? Can I just get you a Stu Leonard's pizza then?
No, Roseland.
You need that too now?
Yeah. People in the chat are going, what is a Stu Leonard's? Just Google it, guys. Come on.
It's a grocery store, pretty much.
It's a grocery store that is responsible for the majority of my personality.
Go to your grocery store and watch people make a pizza. That's what she's talking about. All right.
The best thing is I was with Daisy, and she was in the cart, because they have these really cool carts that are like race cars. And she points at the pizza guy, and she just goes, look at this guy.
That's pretty funny.
She does that now. She goes, look at this guy.
I know, Mike. You never know what your kids are going to say. Just like, just stop. Just, yeah. All right. Let's get into some questions here. We're going to flip it back to Mike Ramori, who said,
we're actually
what
talking
are
about
you...
things.
What are you most excited about with the new show?
Oh.
So he's talking about our new pod that's coming out on May 6th, Nerdy and Nice. Lacey, what are you most excited about?
You go first.
I love sharing my opinions. I love expressing myself. I love a lot of things. Like, I know there are people who it's like Star Wars is their personality. Star Wars is my favorite movie franchise. I mean, this is my house. Look over behind me if you're watching on YouTube. Everyone knows I love Star Wars. I have bins of figures over there. But I love a lot of other movies and a lot of other nerdy stuff. And I'm just excited to talk about it. And, you know, what's in the news? What is trending? And give our takes on that and just open this thing up. Because that's fun. And then at the same time, it also keeps TRB fresh. So I'm just excited about everything that's going on. We haven't even like planned out segments or anything, so it's hard to say specifically, but just in general, that's where my mind goes. Just being able to open this thing up and do what we do the way we always do it, but just about other stuff. What about you, Lacey?
People in the chat are like, which one is it? It's Nerdy and Nice.
Did I not say that? I said that.
I think you did. No, but I'm saying people in the chat are saying they don't know which way it is. Nerdy and
Okay.
Nerdy comes first. It's okay. It's new. I get it. What am I excited about? I'm excited to talk about all different types of stuff. I'm what the youngins call chronically online. I'm always online. I know what's trending, what's going on. You know, internet jokes, stuff like that. I look forward to talking about like memes and stuff that are trending that are related to movies and TV and stuff like that. I'm excited to talk about other movies and TV that have nothing to do with Star Wars. It allows me to then come back to Star Wars with a fresh perspective because I've talked about other things. Plus, I just, like John said, I have other interests outside of Star Wars, which not a lot of people know about, but I'm excited to tell you about them and show you nerd about all different types of stuff and talk about things that have impacted me as a person, all different type of content that have made me who I am. That's not just Star Wars. So that's my answer. May 6th.
May 6th. Yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun. Hope everyone enjoys that new venture. All right. Next up, we'll go to Frank Grande. And Frank asked, do you think we will ever see a live action Young Ben Solo, whether series or movie, even a small role, and do you think Finn Wolfhard could play him? Lacey, what do you think?
No. And no. Actually, no to the second part. I don't think Finn Wolfhard will play him. But I do think, we've talked about this before. What was the most recent project we were talking about where Ben Solo might show up? I think he's going to show up if they do anything with Luke Skywalker in between.
Oh, was it the Mando and Grogu movie?
Oh, was it the Mando? I think, yeah, he could show up there. That would be cool.
Hmm.
I think that would be a good way to have him show up with Leia or something. Because people have to remember, if he shows up young, it doesn't have to be like, you know, talking, using the Force young. It could be toddler Ben. It could be, you know, kindergarten Ben. It doesn't have to be using the Force.
6 pound, 8 ounce.
Sweet Ben baby Solo. Jesus. Yeah. Ben Solo.
I like my Ben Solo in a tuxedo t-shirt.
It says, I like to party.
I'm serious, but I also like to party. Yeah. I think the Finn Wolfhard thing is so funny because for so many years, everybody was like, Millie Bobby Brown should play young Leia. It's like, homegirl's getting old. for even Stranger Things.
She's like, done with Stranger. She said that she wants that to be over so fast.
Yeah. And Finn Wolfhard, like, I think people only picked him because he was like 15 at the time and he had similar hair to Adam Driver.
He has the nose, like Adam lip Driver. Structure.
Maybe. Yeah. I feel like he's a little more wiry than how you think of like Adam Driver. And I know kids have wiry bodies, but I think that ship has sailed too.
I've never heard someone describe someone as wiry.
No?
No.
Hmm. All right. Well, now you have. Wiry. So, bucket list. I don't know that we're going to see young Ben Solo either. I also think when it comes to Ben Solo, I feel like people, more than a lot of other characters, it's like Adam Driver or nothing. Like that he is Ben Solo. So if you give me a young Ben Solo, I don't know how many people care as much, because everything that Driver put into the role, and you know, to this point, he's been the only person that has done it. Mm-hmm. Now, I know we've seen them really take big swings, obviously with Obi-Wan, with Ewan McGregor, that wound up being incredible. Alden Ehrenreich, I love. Some people didn't. I think a lot of people have come around to that. So it's not, no character is sacred except Luke. I mean, they did little kid Luke, but they're doing the whole CG thing to keep Mark Hamill's face as young Luke at this point anyway. So I don't know. I don't think so either. But Frank, I hope we're not bursting your bubble there. I'm actually surprised you said no too, Lacey, but you make good points. Mm-hmm. All right, let us go to talking Star Wars, but the second one. Yeah. Any rumored cast or anyone you want to see join a Star Wars project? Any rumored cast? I mean, we've talked about this before. I've always wanted Sean Bean to be in Star Wars. You know that. So that's my pick.
Sean Bean.
It's not rumored, but it's just who I just love him. He was great in Game of Thrones, great in Lord of the Rings. That feels like it could play in the world of Star Wars, that type of acting. And he always plays a good villain too. So that's my pick. I always love Sean Bean, and I would love to see him in Star Wars. Do you have anyone who's either been rumored or just someone you would love to see launched into the Star Wars saga?
I don't know right now off the top of my head, because I feel like everybody that I would have said is in Dune now. So it's like, I feel like they have now jumped on that, and it would be weird to have them then jump to, like, Zendaya, I think, is great, and I would love to see her in Star Wars, but she's such an important character in Dune that it's like, how many franchises is she going to take on? But then again, she is MJ in Spider-Man, so, you know, could she do it? Sure. I would love to see her. I know I've said before, Kiki Palmer, I'd love to see her in Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think she's fabulous. There's so many. There's so many. And I'm pretty sure at some point when Squid Games was big, I said, you know, Lee Jung-jae, the guy that's in Acolyte now at the time.
No, you didn't. Stop.
Yes. I was like, oh, we were talking about Squid Games. I love Squid Games. We'd love to see him. I said it as a passing thing, not as like a, I want him to be cast. You always make fun of me. You're like, Lacey, it's like whatever you're watching, you, that's who you want in Star Wars. And it's kind of yes.
Well, you claim that you said you wanted Patty Jenkins to do Star Wars.
I did. And Taika in the same episode. We had to pick directors.
Yep.
And it hasn't gone so... I think you did Tarantino.
No way.
Or maybe James did Tarantino. Someone did Tarantino. And I was like...
Tarantino did just cancel his current plans for his movie starting over.
Isn't it because he said he's only doing 10 movies?
Well, that's the thing. This is his 10th movie, and he was going to do this movie about a movie critic in the 70s.
Right.
And he was going to bring back Brad Pitt's character from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and link that up.
Right.
But now he's changing it and doing something completely different. So
at least he's not James Cameron, who's been stuck in Avatar for like ever. Nothing makes Matt more angry than the fact that James Cameron has stopped making Terminator and or good movies, he says, to do Avatar.
I couldn't agree more. He's going to be doing Avatar until he's like 76, 77, and then who knows.
I know.
I mean, Scorsese's not stopping, so who knows? Mm-hmm. All right, let's get to one more here, and it's going to be Tom Favata or Favada.
Favada.
I like Favada. All right, Tom. Tom, thank you for the question. Thank you, everybody who submitted questions. But for the sake of time, this is going to be the last one for this show. Mm-hmm. But keep them coming. Thank you. Tom asked, what do you think will be Hasbro's May the 4th HasLab release?
Wow. I don't know. I've been wrong so many times with the HasLabs. I think the worst one they ever did was Reva's lightsaber. That was the worst one. Even though it was super cool, it just felt like they didn't really read
Anaheim,
the room.
Right?
Yeah, no. They worked so hard on it. Like, Chris, the designer guy, is so nice. He's like the nicest guy that works there. And he worked really hard on that. And he had done such a good job and had like noises from the show and stuff that you like only heard on the lightsaber. The same with the Rey one, the Rey Skywalker one. There's noises in that lightsaber that were supposed to be in the movie but never were. He worked so hard on that, and then he didn't read the room. Like, it, people didn't want that. The people that are collecting want to buy stuff that they used to have and or buy, you know, like the Razor Crest. Like, they want, like, big vehicles. Yeah. So I'm interested to see what they do. The last HasLab was the Ghost. So I don't really know. I think they're out of vehicles, like big vehicles at this point, aren't they? Like, out of, unless they do some type of Imperial ship or something.
What?
They could do Thrawn's ship from Ahsoka.
They could do that.
With all, like, the different details.
They could do the Death Star to scale. I mean, they're going to need funding for that. I think, you know what would be really cool, all jokes aside? Do Vader's castle.
Vader's castle would be crazy.
I think people would light that HasLab up. That would be sponsored, guaranteed.
I remember people were saying that they thought they were going to make an Ewok village, and I thought that was kind of cool.
That would also be very cool. I agree. Just seeing it, because I remember I went to the New York City...
Toy Fair?
Yeah. And they had the Katana, the Jabba sail barge, on display, fully put together and everything, and that got back.
Those
and I was like, this
hot.
Thing,
yeah.
It was like 6 feet wide. That thing was no joke. And it had all the little nooks and crannies, like a kid's dream to like a playset, a complete dream for a kid. And I hope, you know, kids did get to play with those things and they're not just sitting in a box, someone waiting to like sell it in 20 years for like a 20% profit.
Yeah.
Play with the toys. But I think Vader's castle would be sick. In the same way the Katana was. You can make little compartments, areas, and just as a piece in your background, even if you just want to display it. It's just so cool.
It is so cool.
So,
I'm trying
but
to think
not,
other
I mean,
things that like I would want as a HasLab, and I honestly can't think of anything right now. Maybe like Rey's downed walker would be cool, but then that doesn't really... A lot of the things that Hasbro does now is for world building and like taking photos with your stuff or displaying it, and a lot of the things that I find cool aren't going to display well. Like if they did Dryden Voss's ship, that'd be so cool with like different layers and levels
first
and
light,
stuff.
Yeah.
With like the lounge area, but then I don't know if people would buy that, and that's why I don't work at Hasbro.
I mean, the Ewok Village one's a good idea. I like that one.
That is, and then each tier could be different things, like Han Solo getting roasted could be one tier.
Yeah.
C-3PO in the chair.
The bunker and all sorts of things.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Tom.
No doubt about it. Yeah. Thank you. And thank you everybody for sending in those questions. Thank you everybody for listening, watching, being a part of TRB. It's been a crazy few weeks, obviously, with James leaving the show. So we thank everybody who gave James his well wishes and also showed your support behind us. You know, it's all family here and it means a great deal to us. For you watching on YouTube, there's the new TRB logo. Well, one of the new Resistance Broadcast main logos. We have other stuff we're going to be revealing as we roll forward here. But just a reminder that until May, so next week, we're going to be... No Monday show. We're going to be doing TRB Live again Thursday. And then the following week, TRB Live and kicking off with May 6th with Nerdy and Nice. So a lot of great fun stuff coming. So make sure you head over to social media and follow at Nerdy and Nice Pod. Check us out there. We're going to have, once we get the first episode out, we'll let you know where to find that. But it'll be on all your podcast apps and also right here on the channel. So any updates, we'll make sure you're posted up to date on all of that from us here. I'm sure we'll have updates next week on TRB Live too. But we want to thank everybody so much for just being a part of what we have going on here. It means a great deal. And I want to give a special shout out to our Patreon generals and spice runners, Carmelo, John Reese, Jetta Rosewater, Frank Grande, Nick Kratz, Chris Morales, Brian Smith, Danny, Mike Ramori, Brendan McLaughlin, Sneaky Zebra, Dave Hornack, and Jolton Jedi DiMaggio, and the Spice Runners, David Probus, Neil Shaw, Kendall Gellner, Andrew Staley, Jeremy Myers, and the Fort Worthian. And all of our patrons, all of our listeners, everybody, thank you so, so much. For me, Johnny Hoey on pretty much X, and TRB Podcasts, and again, Nerdy and Nice Pod for the new show coming out, again, May 6th. So, Lacey, what about you and anything else for our people?
People can find me on social media at Lacey Gillerin and on TikTok at It's Lacey Gillerin, and I'm super excited for the new show. I hope you guys are too. And stay tuned for more updates on our Patreon page, as well as other cool benefits and such to come. We've got 2 weeks to pull it together. I'm kidding.
And start making your guesses. Who's going to win the bet? Is Yoda going to be in the Acolyte trailer? Is he not? Am I getting a pizza? Is Lacey getting a pizza? We'll find out. Yeah. But I want to hear what you guys all think out there. So have a wonderful weekend, everybody. Thank you again so, so much. And we'll see you next Thursday right here on the Resistance Broadcast. We'll see you around, kids.